Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
So, I guess we'll do housekeeping really fast. Ready, guys? Patreon. We've had a few messages lately on what Patreon is and how they will listen to it. So this is what I'll tell you. Our regular feed, like you guys listen to every week, is missing people, right? What do we talk about? Patreon is our, Amy and I love true crime, so we want to talk about everything else. So there's two levels of Patreon. One gets you a bonus episode every month. It's a full-length episode, and it mostly usually murders. Sometimes there's a heist, but it's still unsolved, same format. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, anything is kind of fair game, but it still is with the theme unsolved.
Yes. And then there's a second level, which is VIP level, and that includes the full episode and then another episode. It's supposed to be a short episode. I mean, Amy and I can't do short, but
we always shoot for like 15, maybe 20 minutes, and it turns into 30.
Because we talk about anything else. Either way, our link is in our bio and all the episodes. It's on our social media. That's that. Any case requests, please send them to theories@downrabbitholespodcast.com. I really appreciate your social media DMs, but if we don't have them all in one place, it's really hard to make sure we're covering them. And that's really all I have right now. Amy, do you have anything?
I never have anything. You're so good at covering it all.
Okay. So this case, I mean, I know what I think happened, but I don't understand how it's not solved.
I have heard of this case, and I know when you start talking about it, there's going to be details that are familiar to me, but I don't recall ever looking really deep into it.
Okay. Well, I was just Googling, you know, as I do, looking for a case, and I wanted one that, like, caught my attention. And this one did, because it's, I'm going to say child, right? But she's 17. But a child. And she's Native American. And I don't really know. I'm just going to dive in, okay?
I love hate when you get to that point where you're like, I don't even know how to put this into words. And then you're like, all right, just forget it. I'm going to dive in.
Oh, do you want to hear something funny really quick? Someone messaged us on Instagram, I think. And they were like, just so you know, like, when you're teasing the episode in the first minute or two and you don't tell us who it is, like, the episode name is the person's name. And I responded and said, we aren't teasing it to the audience. It's to each other.
It's true. I mean, they make a valid point if that wasn't true for us.
Right. Like, you don't know what it is. Yes, by the time it gets released, the episode we called Molly Miller and Colt Haynes. But until I just said it right now, you didn't know what it was.
No. Well, in all fairness, like 15 minutes ago, I did when we ask each other, because we have to make sure that we're set up on our end and not mixing up files.
Right. Okay. So Molly Miller is 17 years old when she goes missing. I'm going to go backwards a little bit and tell you a little bit about her childhood. She's the words that are used out to describe her are rambunctious and outgoing, which I love because it means she's going to be a leader.
I think of a free spirit and someone that'll like spearhead a project for sure.
For sure. She's close to her family. Her older brother did part of a documentary or episode, if you will. She's close to her cousin Paula, who said that she's just a sweet, sweet girl. In high school, when she was 17, she started making some meh decisions. And her brother, in the episode I watched, basically just said to her, mm-hmm. like, you're a year away from being 18 and being able to move on your own. Just get through it.
Yeah, but at 18, it also feels like that's never really coming.
Right. So she started hanging out with, like, a rougher crowd, an older crowd. She started skipping school. Now, I want to say, when I tell you this is a small town, her brother is doing an interview, and he's like, oh, yeah, I know the person, the other person that was there that night. I know his kinfolk.
I'm sorry, it was what?
You've never heard that expression, kinfolk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, I know his kinfolk. So it's a really small town they're from, okay? And I'm sorry, they're from Wilson, Oklahoma. I should have said that. All right, so let's just go to July 7th, 2013. James Conn Knipp, who I'm going to call Conn, because that's what he went by. He's 21. He picks up Molly, who's 17, and her friend Colt Haynes. Now, some places say he's 21, some say he's 22. I don't think it matters, except for that he's older than Molly.
Okay.
Well, they pick him up in his 2012 Accord, and they're going to just do what people do and go for a ride and, you know, have a night out. Well, okay, so there are a couple different reports at this point. Some say that Conn was throwing rocks at police cars. Some say that he spun his tires out and sprayed gravel at police cars. I mean, either way, it's not really a great decision.
I can't argue that.
One of the articles, I'm going to quote a couple of them, says, the Charlie Project says they were driving recklessly and throwing rocks at police cars. And another article says, this dark Honda sped into the parking lot and the driver of the vehicle spun his tires, throwing gravel all over a patrol car. Either way, he takes off and a high-speed chase ensues. And when I mean high speed, I mean up to 120 miles an hour.
So this is escalating pretty fast.
Yes, very fast.
And I know that actually sounded like a pun, and seriously, I was not intended.
Oh, I didn't even get that, but yes, yes. The two deputies basically call it in and say, hey, like, we're on a high-speed chase. The sheriff of the county just basically said, call off the chase because the car pulled on to, like, they're basically a dead-end county line and turned off their headlights and went to, like, started to go to, like, dirt roads and back roads. And from what it sounds like, he didn't want the cruisers torn up or in an accident or anything. So he just said, like, just give it up.
Mm-hmm.
The car disappears into the woods. Okay. And this is at, like, just after 10:30 p.m.
Okay.
At 12:57 a.m., Molly's phone calls the police. Calls 911. The call lasts...
That's what? There's this gap of time?
Oh, it's going to get worse.
Night to morning?
Well, 12:57 a.m. is like 2.5 hours later.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought I heard a different time.
The phone continued to make several calls to 911, but each time the call was dropped. Dispatcher tried to call back, but they couldn't get through. I guess I'll say it here. Regardless of that, no officers were dispatched to where the cell phone was.
Am I wrong in thinking that that is something that they are obligated to do?
So I'll just say it here. You guys know that we tend to be pro-law enforcement. In this case, I'm not pro-law enforcement. I think they dropped the ball purposely in a bunch of different ways.
Well, just to be more clear about that, especially if it were someone to be new listening, we are pro-law enforcement, but we also think that people should be held accountable.
Oh, 100%.
When they're not doing their job.
100%. Yes. I think that the best way I can explain it in my real life, how I say it is, listen, I don't go to work every day wondering if I'm going to come home. So I give law enforcement a little bit of leeway based on that. However, they are held to the highest standard of the law because they're defending it.
Right. Your job is to make us feel safe. And if you're not doing your job, then the whole system crashes and crumbles.
Yes. I guess I'm going to tell you this part next, and we'll kind of... I'm going to tell you the story as it's been pulled together, and then I'll break down, like, what happened in what order, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we find out is that whole night, from, like, midnight till 10 in the morning or so, and I'll give you exact times in a little bit, Colt's friends and Molly's friends got calls from them. Colt says he was stuck in a creek bed, he had a broken ankle, and he had was coughing blood. And because they went off the road and went into the woods in this car, they didn't know where they were. So they're trying to, like...
How far in the woods did they go?
Well, Khan's family owned 1,000 acres of property.
Oh, okay. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to see a picture.
So, at that point, Molly was calling her friends saying, I'm in a field somewhere. Colt's friends were driving down the road honking their horns, and he was like, I don't hear anything.
What?
Yeah, it sounds like it was a very chaotic evening. The next morning comes, and they haven't been home. They're not home, right? They don't make it home. They call, their families respectively call law enforcement, and they're like, hey. Well, law enforcement goes back and forth between they run away and they're running to avoid the police from last night.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, but by the way, the third person, Khan, did make it home.
They didn't all stay together?
He says that when they went into the woods, he parked the car. He went in one direction, and Molly and Colt went the other.
Why would anyone ever do that in pitch dark?
You know, there's a lot of questions I have. So the media gets called.
Okay.
And the media, in a small town, calls the sheriff. And they're like, hey, what's the deal? There's this missing girl. She's 17. She's underage. And it sounds like they placed more urgency on Molly because she was an underage female rather than Colt because he was a 21, 22-year-old male. Not that I'm saying that either one is worse or better. I'm just saying that's what it sounds like the media was doing.
I see.
Well, the sheriff immediately tells the media, it's a runaway case. Like, we don't even need to investigate it. So the media is kind of like, okay, well, I guess that's what it is because, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. At that point, they start pulling cell phone records. They start doing all of the things. Molly's phone went dead, shut off, no more anything, at 9:39 a.m. Colt's phone went dead at 9:57 a.m.
When we say dead, it's dead or turned off.
We don't know. We just says stopped transmitting.
Yeah.
So the family basically keeps trying to make a big deal of it. Where the sheriff's office is like, no, not a big deal. Khan ditched the car and showed up the next morning and basically said, I have no idea what happened to them, but they ran. I don't know. Which, you know, is awesome. The family starts to kind of put up a little bit of a, I don't want to say a stink, because I think it's warranted. I like we've said multiple times, like we tread lightly when families are pushing back against law enforcement. Well, let me tell you a little about the sheriff. The sheriff that called off the chase and that said it was a runaway. Oh, he's Khan's cousin.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. You weren't kidding about small town.
No, I was not. Okay, so that happened. All of they try to get the answers, no answers, in 2013.
What month was this again?
July of 2013. So, like, the middle of summer.
Right, so they're not out in the woods with hypothermia.
No, they're not.
Okay.
In 2014, the family gets the attention of the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. And they sort of take on the case.
Well, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Like, did any family or private searches go on in the woods?
No. It was all on the property owned by Khan's family.
They wouldn't let people go out there?
There's nothing that says that. It just...
Okay.
There was nothing about searches. In January of 2014, they issued an arrest warrant for Khan for evading the police and endangering others. While eluding the police. Okay? They also arrested his girlfriend because she said she told the police that he stole her car. But then it actually was like, no, I gave him permission to use it. So they nailed her for that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that has anything to do with, like, Molly and Colt.
Gotcha.
So he was convicted of endangering others and eluding police and got 10 years of prison. He served 4 years in jail. And was released in 2018. Now, he's never been charged in connection with the disappearance. When the FBI moved in, though, they actually indicted Sheriff Joe Russell on several charges, including 2 counts of corruption, 2 counts of willful neglect of duty, and I'm not going to get into everything else because they're not related to this, but this guy didn't seem like a great guy. He accepted a plea deal and for corruption and, he was arrested in July of 16 for corruption of office. He resigned. He was got 1 year of probation and, $300 in court fines. Then they bring in, the family brings in a private investigator. And you may know the name if you listen to us for a long time, apparently. We like the same case as he does, because Philip Klein from Klein Investigations comes in. Now, he's approached by someone in the town that says, hey, listen, Khan's family, I don't know who, gave me a gun to hold the day after this all happened.
I beg your pardon? What?
Yeah. So Philip is like, whoa, 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 I don't want it. Please give it to law enforcement. So that happens. And then Payne Lindsay comes in. And he does an episode for Up and Vanish on Oxygen.
Okay.
No progress. But then, it's like, but wait, there's more, right? The law enforcement gets a... Well, they apply for a probable cause affidavit to search a property. It's close to where they were last seen alive, and it was never searched. So because it's private property, they basically ask for a search warrant to go search that property. They searched 600 yards away. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, I'm getting aggravated.
They searched 600 yards away. I know. And this case is really convoluted because there's real no investigation. It's all like the family and the private investigator.
Mm-hmm.
So the law enforcement agencies helped to apply for this search warrant to go out and search. Right?
Yep.
So they're gonna try to get some answers there. The search warrant was denied because it's on tribal land.
Oh no!
So it has to go through whatever it would be to search tribal land. Because the judge basically says there's no probable cause, there's no proof there's a crime, and I actually don't know that I have authority to grant it on that land anyway. And it's true, there's no proof of a crime. People say that Colt and Molly ran away to avoid the law enforcement.
Sure, but who's to say they didn't have an accident out there and they needed people to come and rescue them? Or now it would be a recovery mission, but...
So, well, in order to dig in this specific spot, the property owners will only let them dig with a warrant, and they can't get a warrant.
Unbelievable. Or you could just say, by all means, search our property.
Let me just read to you. I'm going to read you. It's kind of long. But the new sheriff issued a statement. We are aware of the circulating rumors in reference to the Molly Miller and Colt Haynes disappearance. As mentioned numerous times over the years, we have never given up hope of finding Molly and Colt. While this case was forwarded to the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation some years back, a couple of current deputies that work for the new administration here at Love County have taken another look at the case and have drawn some of their own opinions and conclusions. Obviously, none of these opinions or conclusions have been substantiated because we have not been able to locate Molly or Colt. We do our best to look into every lead and tip that we receive, and in doing so, deputies believe a search warrant was necessary for a piece of property in Love County with the hopes of excavating years of built-up dirt and debris in a creek bed. If the theory of the deputies is correct, this excavation and search warrant are necessary. However, when the search warrant was applied for to the district court, it was denied, citing the case is still considered a missing persons case, and there is no evidence to show that a crime has been committed. With not being able to prove a crime was committed, a search warrant cannot be issued. We understand the public opinion of the case, and at this point, we are reexamining our options moving forward and still plan on following up on any credible lead.
Okay, thanks.
I thought you might like that one. And that's really the end of where we are. Like, I know that that stinks, and I know that's, like, the worst. But that's literally where we're at. Oh, by the way, he did also say more and say, if you know something about this case, do the right thing and come forward.
Huh. So, can you go back to the night of the chase when phone calls were made to friends? Can you tell me, like, what was said?
There's not a whole lot from Molly's side. Police have not released who she called, aside from 911.
Okay.
Colt, however, they say that he called multiple of his friends saying he's hurt, he's in a ravine, he broke his ankle, he's bleeding, he needs help.
So he never indicated he was shot or anything?
No, but, because I had the same question. I was like, how did we get here? Like, this escalated very quickly. What it sounds like is one of the theories is Khan came back the next day in the morning, like in the early morning hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some sort of escalation of an argument, and that's how, if he's involved, that's when violence may have happened. Now, there's
also... Well, speaking of theories, why don't you lay them all out?
Okay. Number one is they ran, and they just left their lives because they ran. Number two is they ran, and they both somehow died in the elements. And three is foul play. And foul play involves Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves a cover-up, obviously, from the sheriff's office.
Okay. So, is there anything more about these three? Did they argue? Did they have things at stake?
We only get the story from Khan. Like, we don't know.
Well, I guess I'm not just talking about that night. I'm talking about, like, in general. Like, what do people say about this particular three when together? Or is it one of the first times they hung out together?
I think that the family was worried about her hanging out with Khan because he had a rougher general opinion or a rougher reputation.
Yes. Okay.
But there didn't seem to be any ill will.
So they were, by all accounts, friends?
Yes.
Hmm. Why do people think and theorize that something happened in the early morning hours as opposed to right then and there that night?
Well, the Oklahoma State Police makes a statement that their phones dying within like 13 minutes of each other or whatever it is what signifies to them. And they've never been found. Like, they obviously tried to locate them. Mm-hmm. And they've never been found. The phones, I mean.
Oh.
Oklahoma State Police say the odds of both their phones dying within, like, that small window is weird. And he went on to say, and in law enforcement, we don't really believe in coincidences.
Okay. That's all they had to offer? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't this great?
Do you have any thoughts about what happened?
I mean, I don't understand the whole logic of why would he come back and hurt them?
Right.
Like, you just asked. Like, I don't understand that. But I also don't think they just, like, ran and left their lives.
Yeah, unless they went into the woods or he kicked them out of the car, went on his merry way, returned to the woods in the morning, and they were furious with him and hurt and starving and all the things, and it turned into a fight.
And then he shot them?
Well, that's the other thing, too, that doesn't really make sense to me is he wouldn't just happen to have a gun. And maybe he would. I don't know if he carried it. But if he had a gun that he usually didn't carry, he would have brought it with him. And that would mean there was intent.
But why?
Right. Well, why don't we think that this is just a guy who's a jerk, who made it home, didn't worry about the people in his car, and they were hurt out there, and they're still there?
I think because the lack of his... he didn't cooperate at all. He basically says, listen, yes, we got chased by the police. We pulled over, went in different directions, and I never called them again.
I don't really understand going in different directions. If I'm lost with someone...
Right. Safety in numbers.
I'm going to stay with them in the dark.
Safety in numbers.
Right.
Unless he's on his property, even though it's 1,000 acres, he knows how to get home. But then I say, well, why didn't you help them?
The only other thing I can think of is that they separated because it was like every man for himself. The cops are after us. You know, like when people scatter.
Except for it sounds like Molly and Colt stuck together.
How do we know that?
I mean, I guess we don't, right? We don't know that for sure.
Why didn't, and I'm not trying to place blame, but why didn't his friends call the police?
I don't think they knew where he was.
This is weird. Neither theory works in my head. I mean, I don't think they left their life. They would have been in trouble, but at this point in time...
none of it works in my head.
They probably would opt to come back and, you know, give their families comfort or contact them even. Say like, oh, I'm in Alaska or Canada, I don't know, whatever. I'm okay, just want you to know, but I can't come home because I'm going to get arrested. So that just doesn't work for me. But I can't think of how this escalated to a possible murder, if that's what we're thinking.
All right, so what do you think happened then?
I mean, I don't know. Neither of them work. I think I'm like, every time I say, well, gosh, they definitely could have been lost and injured and passed out there. But then I go back to, how and why did you all separate? And why won't you let anyone on the property easily? Like, why won't you invite people to do their own search?
Oh, I agree with that. Like, why do you need a warrant?
So you see why that theory still doesn't make sense for me? Like, it seems plausible and realistic until that. But then I go to, well, if it was murder, why?
I mean, I don't know, unless what happened was one of them, like, let's say Colt actually did, like, fall from a tree, like he told his friend, right? Broke his ankle, was in a lot of pain, and he ended up dying. And Molly says it's Khan's fault. And then he panics and kills her, too?
It's kind of a reach. Like, do you think this guy was actually really like, oh, this could fall on me? This guy went out and ran in these wooded areas. No one told him to do it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't. But I can tell you this. I don't think that Molly and Colt just took off running and stayed running forever.
I 100% agree with that. I have strong feelings that that is not what happened.
And the fact that both their cell phones went dead and they've never been recovered, to me, says it, I think it's foul play.
You know, it could be that they were in the car and Khan was speeding and obviously, you know, trying to evade the cops. And they both, as passengers, were screaming for him to stop. And then when they pulled off, they all got in a fight. And that's when it escalated. Or he kicked him out of the car and left them out there.
Okay. Well, they found the car on the same road 2 weeks later. I don't know why it took them 2 weeks to find the car, but whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm more inclined to think something like that happened, like an argument about why are you messing with the cops? Look at the position you put us in. And it could have gotten very heated. He either left him out there and returned later or hurt them. But that doesn't explain the phone call. So maybe he left them out there, returned in the morning to find them deceased.
Or one of them deceased.
Something like that. I don't know why you'd shut off the phones.
Well, if you're going to get rid of evidence.
The phones already showed where they were.
But they never found the phones.
Oh, so maybe turned them off, took the phones.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's probably the best theory that I've got.
Me too, and I don't know, I can't answer the why.
Had Molly ever been in trouble?
Aside from, like, skipping school, not, like, with law enforcement.
I only wonder because if she went from not really being in trouble until she's in this high-speed chase.
Oh, I would say she's probably not happy about it.
Right. She's probably like, my parents are absolutely going to be angry with me.
Right.
You're yelling at Khan, and then maybe Colt is yelling at him too. Fists are thrown. I can see something like that happening.
And then what, he just like leaves them on the property and then he thinks about it and comes back in the morning?
Yeah, I can see something like that happening.
Me too, and I could see that being Colt passing from injuries. So Khan just saying, forget it, I'm going to unfortunately eliminate Molly.
I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's the best we've got.
You want to open it up?
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense for me, except for I don't think they left their lives. And I think that law enforcement had the ability to solve this in the early days and chose not to. Which is why it's still unsolved.
Mind-boggling and unbelievable. I mean, I don't know how you can just say, oh, she's 17, runaway. Like, she was last seen in the woods. Just go take a gander. Gosh.
Right. It's not difficult.
What do I know, though?
All right, guys. Tell us what you think. And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.